You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you got Ronald yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got yet another breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Let's go across town there to the home daycare center of the one and the only Ryan Callahan. Ryan, would you please be so kind again as to tell the good people why we have yet another breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast?
Well, Tennessee has made another addition. Stop me if you've heard this before, to its 2023 recruiting class. And this is a big one. Cornerback Christian Conyer out of Bowling Green, Kentucky. Longtime Tennessee target, a guy that Tennessee has really wanted for months and has been high on their cornerback board for a long time. Tennessee beats out Kentucky for him in what has been a good old-fashioned SEC recruiting battle between the two SEC East rivals over the past few months. Really down the stretch had gotten pretty intense. Took official visits to both schools in June, and Tennessee got the last visit. It kind of went back and forth there down the stretch. I think there was definitely a point where Kentucky led and really shifted the momentum in their direction coming off his official visit to Lexington. And, you know, within a few days, he got further away from that visit, and Tennessee was able to kind of swing things back in their direction a little bit going into the official visit to Knoxville. And I think that visit kind of allowed Tennessee to push things back in its direction. So, a nice win here for Tennessee and a really important one for a lot of reasons we'll discuss throughout this podcast. But bottom line, a guy Tennessee really wanted at the cornerback position, and now they have him. And, you know, 6'1.5", 170 pounds, a good athlete, a lot to like about his game that we'll discuss in more depth here in just a second.
And you can tell that judging by the way his recruiting battle went and the way that he made his decision, that he can read a history book, so he knows – sort of historically what the better bet is, you know, when you're going between and certainly Kentucky's done a lot of things lately to make life harder for Tennessee to get some of these kids. But, you know, I mean, historically, we've said this for a long time, if Tennessee's doing what it should do and Kentucky's doing what it should do, Tennessee will win these battles. And it's important for Tennessee to win them to kind of keep, Kentucky, which has been a much bigger threat under Mark Stoops and those guys, to keep kind of Kentucky from even challenging them in a lot of ways. That's a big, big thing for the Tennessee program. So it's big to get this kid. And, Ryan, this is the second time in – 2 weeks that I've said something that I only say maybe once or twice a year most years. I don't say this very often because, there's that whole stay in your lane philosophy, and I am not a recruiting analyst. Like, I can look at a player, and I know who's a good player and who's not in a lot of cases, but I'm not a guy. My specialty in this business is not looking at, you know, the 16 to 18-year-old kids and figuring out how good they're going to be from 19 to 22. You know, I'm not an evaluator. That's not my job. But just like a couple of weeks ago, or I guess I should say last week, really with the Slaughter kid, this is the second time in two weeks that I'm saying, how in the hell does this kid not have A, more offers, and B, a higher ranking? Because I watched this kid on film, and length is becoming so important at the cornerback position, more so than it's ever been. This kid might really be able to play corner at nearly 6'2". He moves very, very well and is a really good athlete. Why does he not have more offers, and why is he not ranked higher right now? I don't understand.
In full transparency, this is a guy I would advocate for a little bit higher ranking on him personally. Again, that's not my primary duty. I'm not directly involved in that, as I say all the time on 24/7 Sports, but I know he's very high on Tennessee's board and has been for quite some time. And I've gotten to see this guy play in person a few times, and he's as you said, good athlete, good length, long arms, a lot to like about him as a cornerback. That's always a tricky position to recruit. And I can't tell you much more than maybe where he's located has held back his recruitment a little bit. Like Bowling Green is only about an hour from Nashville, so you have the access to a lot of recruiters. A lot of college coaches come through Nashville, obviously, and it's not that far up the road for them to just drive up to Bowling Green once they, you know, fly in across the country or drive into Nashville. But some guys don't make that trip all the time, and that really is the only thing that I can think of. You know, why you wouldn't go see this kid in person to kind of verify his height or whatever and offer him. But on film, even if you don't go see him in person, I think this is the kind of kid that that more teams would have offered. But I think he's the kind of guy that could have had a pretty interesting summer, frankly, if he'd wanted to go camp at places like Georgia, Alabama, LSU, wherever in the SEC, Florida. Could have probably gotten more of those big time offers if he'd really wanted to chase them. But I think it got to a certain point in the spring, and I think he just kind of decided, you know what, it's Tennessee or Kentucky. I'm not worried about chasing offers. I just want to go where I want to go, and those to me are the two. So I think it became pretty clear that was, even if somebody big jumped in the picture, that it was going to be hard to dissuade him from those, liking one of those two schools more. And it just kind of became a two-team battle and remained that way all the way down the stretch. But I really couldn't tell you. There's a lot to like about his game. He plays on both sides of the ball in high school. Really good speed. Even a pretty good playmaker on offense and special teams. And I always say you like to see that from a defensive back. You want a guy that his team's trying to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he should be returning kicks or punts for his high school team unless he's like at one of those. Maybe if he's in – you know, L.A. or, you know, some of the Atlanta schools, you know, some of the South Florida schools, like maybe you have more options at Louisiana schools. But generally you ought to be returning the kicks or punts.
Yeah.
To your team.
And he did that. And so yeah, now last year he missed some time with an injury, missed several games during the regular season, came back at the end of the regular season, though, and his team was very good even without him. But came back and led his team to a state championship. They went 14-1, played really well in the playoffs, and kind of helped carry his team down the stretch. So even in what could have been a pretty tough junior season, came back and showed people at the end why he's a big-time talent. And hey, Tennessee and Kentucky both treated him as a top prospect, a top target. I mean, this was a guy that both teams really felt optimistic about their chances and really fought tooth and nail for the last few months. I know Vince Mara was heavily involved in his recruitment at Kentucky.
He's a good recruiter.
And really thought at one point Kentucky was going to get him. I think they really felt confident about their chances at a couple different points in the spring and summer. But Tennessee, to their credit, did a great job with him. And this is one of those cases, you know, we talk all the time about, you know, NIL made recruiting so tricky and stuff like that. This is one of those cases where I think at the end of the day, Christian Conyer just wanted to go to Tennessee. I mean, sometimes – and I say that all the time. Other factors can come into play in a kid's decision, but at the end of the day, kids often go where they want to go. And this is another one of those cases. I don't think there was too much that could have been done to change his mind. I think this is a kid that when I've talked to him about Tennessee before and Kentucky, he just kind of lights up when you talk about Tennessee. You know, he just likes it there. He's enjoyed all of his visits there. He was at Rocky Top Palooza at the end of May. And came back for his official visit the final weekend of June. And just each time he was there, I think he just felt like he was home. It was just going to be tough to change his mind. And so I think Tennessee was the leader for a while. Kentucky came in and made it interesting late, but it was Tennessee at the end of the day, just because that's where he wanted to be. And you'd give Tennessee credit. Willie Martinez played a big part in that. He's from the same – he played on the same 7-on-7 team in the Nashville area that has produced Caleb Herring. So he's got another 7-on-7 teammate already headed to Knoxville. They obviously played with Elijah Herring and Cameron Miller the year before on that 7-on-7 team. So a few familiar faces in Knoxville. He feels kind of like an in-state kid to Tennessee, even though he's not from in-state. And obviously has those common connections there that make it pretty easy for him to feel at home at Tennessee. And Willie Martinez did a great job of recruiting him. And I think he sees an early path to playing time, which is probably a pretty smart thought given what Tennessee's secondary situation has been in recent years. I think there is clearly an opportunity for a talented cornerback to come in there and beat out some guys if they're ready to do it. And I think he feels he has a chance to do that and has the skill set to make it happen. So this is a big pickup for Tennessee, and I really couldn't tell you why. In short, he's not ranked a little bit higher because to me he's a good long athlete with a lot of speed, and those guys are hard to find.
Yeah, I'm trying to be careful how I say that because if like the Slaughter podcast and then this podcast are like the first two times – you'd ever listen to this podcast, you might think I'm the kind of guy who every time somebody gets a three-star, I'm like, oh, I don't know why he's not rated higher. I don't do that very often because I know that there are a lot of times where a lot of schools take some three-star players, and I'm like, yeah, he could turn into something pretty nice, but, you know, I could see why he's not like a, you know, a four-star or something like that. You know, he's just a good player, but you know, I don't know that he's special. I mean, we'll see. But in both of those cases are rare times where I would say, I don't understand. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm right. It just means I don't understand in some ways. You look at the size and the athleticism that he has. Maybe it's just where he is. I don't know, but I'm not knocking our guys or anybody else's guys because there's a lot of other people in the industry who are doing the same thing with him so far. And I just, he's one of those guys that I see and I go, I don't know that I get it. But what matters is what Tennessee thinks about him or what the schools that are recruiting him think about him. And Tennessee has loved this kid for a long time. And just that's what matters the most is that I think if you were to look at Tennessee's defensive backboard, Ryan, I think that we probably were not obviously privy to that, but we know some things. And I would imagine, and I'm pretty certain, he's pretty damn high on that list for Tennessee.
I can tell you, I again, I'm not privy to that board. Don't see it or anything like that. But I can tell you from what I've been told, he's basically top of the board. I mean, he is. There might be some guys on that board who are unrealistic, who were above him in the beginning. But among the guys that Tennessee's been actively involved with, heavily recruiting, thought it had a shot at, I don't think there's anybody higher than Christian Conyer on the board. And it's probably for a combination of reasons, but on pure ability alone is the main reason he's up there. But I think when you combine that with the fact that, again, he's essentially an in-state kid, I think Tennessee just viewed him as a must-have. I don't think in their situation, having as much trouble as they've had recruiting cornerbacks, and that's this staff might feel that way, but that's a problem Tennessee's had, I would say, going back 15 years
or more. It's just a long time.
It's a bit of a head scratcher, but you know, it kind of makes sense when you think about it, just because that's a position you often have to recruit in other states. This state has not produced a ton of, you know, 6'1" guys that can run like the wind. So it's just hard to find those guys, and there aren't enough to go around. And at the end of the day, they typically end up going to the big time programs that are competing for championships. And lately that's not been Tennessee. So sometimes you have to go and, you know, find a guy who flies a little bit under the radar, maybe is just a touch slower than other guys or a touch shorter, but still at least in that range. And that's how you end up with guys like Cameron Sutton, who develop into, you know, good NFL prospects and things like that. But you have to do a really good job evaluating sometimes. And it's just been a tricky spot for Tennessee to recruit. So when you have a guy like this, who is, you know, 20 miles across the Tennessee border, you know, 3.5 hours away from your campus, that is 6'1", taller than 6'1", and has the kind of speed Christian Conyer has, I think you got to view him as a must get. And they did. And they recruited him that way. Did a great job with him, and again, having some connections to him probably helped a little bit. But he had connections at Kentucky too. There were guys that were going to Kentucky that he knows certainly, and being in that state, he was very important to Kentucky. I just think he felt more comfortable with Tennessee in a lot of ways, and sees a good opportunity there, and just again just felt at home every time he was there. But yeah, Tennessee recruited him in a way that made him feel that way too. And it's because of how high he was on their board, no question. He was a top of the board target for Tennessee and over the past several months. And this is a huge win, and one Tennessee's going to celebrate quite a bit to start this 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, like, I'm sure Tennessee would tell you, like, yeah, I mean, Cormani McClain's pretty high on that board, or, you know, like, trying to think of somebody else, like a Jaleel Hurley's probably pretty high on that board, but, like, you know, that those guys were not going to go to Tennessee. But this kid, when you talk about the size and you talk about the athleticism and you talk about the upside, like, he's about the same size as both those kids. Like, he can run really well too. It's just, you know, we will see. I'm sure there's times where I've said, why is that guy not rated higher? And somebody could be like, well, there's a million reasons why. But, you know, this one, I just, you know, it's, I don't want to harp on it. I really don't. But it just, all I'm trying to say, the main reason that I'm saying this is that I think this is somebody Tennessee is like high-fiving like crazy. The staff was that they were able to get him, and I think fans maybe ought to be doing the same thing.
Yeah, no question. This is not just some three-star who's a nice pickup. Like, this is a guy, again, I think Tennessee essentially views him as an in-state target and has made him such a priority that this is, I think they will view this as one of the, you know, if you're looking at Tennessee's class right now, he's one of the five or six best players in Tennessee's class, I think. And then that's the way they're probably looking at this. He is a real talent. And you know, that doesn't mean he's a sure thing. No, few cornerbacks ever are, a few players in any position ever are. Not a sure thing, but there's no reason with his skill set that he cannot be a really good player at Tennessee. I think he's a guy who's going to buy in and already has kind of bought in. And you can, I think the people who've been around him on his official visit and things like that have seen that he's really excited about being at Tennessee. So I think he'll be a decent peer recruiter and things like that over the next several months. I think there's a lot to like about getting a kid like this, but no question. I think Tennessee is, as you said, high-fiving quite a bit about the addition of Christian Conyer and has recruited him like a guy they had to have in this class, especially given his location and just how badly they need a talented, long, speedy corner.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of high-fiving right now at Tennessee, just in general, about the way things are going in recruiting. How about that segue, Ryan? There's lots and lots of things about this Tennessee class that people, I think, probably are excited about, and I think they have good reason to be excited about it. But we need to talk about Tennessee's defensive back recruiting in this class. We need to talk about just sort of the way things are in general, the way things are going forward. We got more to discuss, but we're overdue for a break, so we're going to go step away for just a second, pay some bills, listen to product services, in-house ads, and then come back and talk more about Christian Conyer and more here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker, Ryan Callahan, coming to you from respectively the Go Vols 24/7 Fort Rucker studio here just a couple miles away from Neyland Stadium, and then Ryan from just a few miles on down the road, the other side of the tracks from his home daycare center, also in Knoxville. I won't tell you where. I would love to tell you where, but I will not do that. Because as much as it makes me laugh to think of y'all actually like putting road signs and awful things and terrorizing Ryan's house, in reality, it may not be such a great thing. So, but regardless, we are both coming here to you talking Tennessee football, talking the addition of Christian Conyer to Tennessee's recruiting class, a big, big get for the Vols, someone they are very excited to get, a cornerback prospect who's nearly 6'2", about 170 pounds, can run really well. Lots and lots to discuss about him and more, and we will do all of that, but quickly, just a quick request on our end, if you will. If you could go right now, take about 60 to 90 seconds out of your day and go in and rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, we would greatly appreciate that. If you're just listening on the website, we love you. There's nothing wrong with that. There is no wrong way to consume the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. But what really helps us out is if you go in there, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world you can cast a fine pod, you can find this Go Vols 24/7 podcast. We do it for free. We're happy to do it. No complaints on our end. We love doing this. But all we ask for in return, since it's free, is that you rate, review, and subscribe. Tell your friends. Help us add more wolves to this wolf pack, as we've done for years. And that's how this business keeps on churning. So if you're already doing that, thank you. We love you. If not, go f*** yourself. That's the motto. Ride or die with us here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Ryan, we look at Tennessee's defensive back class now with Conyer in the fold. And of course, we don't know whether he's going to sign, but most of the time when you commit, you end up signing. Where is Tennessee sort of numbers wise now in the secondary in this class? And where does Tennessee need to be at the secondary numbers in this class?
Well, we've talked before, after they landed John Slaughter, you know, they're in pretty good shape at the safety position right now. Three projected safeties in this class, where they really needed to get started with things, as we said at the time, was at the cornerback position. Yeah. So that's one reason.
And for years. For years.
Yeah, no question. They've frankly undersigned in the secondary in general over the past 3 years, I would say, which is why they had to go to the transfer portal last year and this year to get guys like Brandon Turnage, Andre Turrentine, Wesley Walker, also Kamal Haddon from Auburn. So you have to do those kinds of things when you don't sign enough guys in the secondary. And so they've had some misses in recent years that led to that. And they've, you know, they've gotten by with the depth they have, but they need to get more there. And this is a class for them to make up for some of those past misses, I think. And so that's why you see them with three safety commits. This is the first projected cornerback in the class, though. So Tennessee still has some work to do there. I think ideally you would see Tennessee sign six defensive backs. I think three corners and three safeties would be a nice combination. We'll see. You know, that always could vary depending on just who they can get. You know, with no 25 signee limit anymore, at least for the next 2 years, as we've talked about. You know, that gives you the luxury of if you get too many or almost too many players maybe at a position, but they're just guys you want, you can have the luxury of taking them and just sort of figuring out the numbers later. You can go sort of one over at almost any position and figure it out, probably, because most teams are not so stacked on their roster that they're not going to have any attrition. And even if you do feel like you're stacked, you're going to have some attrition these days with the transfer portal. So you can probably figure it out in the offseason. But yeah, I think 3-3 at corner and safety makes some sense. So that means you've obviously still got some work to do with the cornerback position. Good news for them, a few pretty good possibilities still out there. Tennessee had another pair of cornerbacks on campus recently for official visits, Jakeem Jackson out of Florida, Jordan Matthews out of Louisiana. I mean, Tennessee's very much been in the mix for those guys. Those official visits certainly helped. We'll see if that can help them land either of those guys. I think still, you know, the reasons to believe they could miss out on them, but legitimate reasons to think they're in it for both. And then Ricky Gibson out of Alabama, a three-star prospect whose stock has, I think, risen a little bit lately. He got a Georgia offer a couple weeks ago. So that's one that the Tennessee's deep in that one. I think it's still a Tennessee-Arkansas battle right now. Both teams have hosted him on official visits, but that's one Tennessee would really like to land as well, given their needs at the cornerback position. So got a few good options there, but need to land another one or two of those guys, because they missed out on Brandon Strozier, a guy from the Atlanta area they liked quite a bit, picked Clemson back in May, and still some other names on that board. But you know, the number of really realistic options is a little bit smaller now. So we're getting into that part of the summer where the guys that you're in with, you need to land a couple of them, because before you know it, the options will start to dry up, and it'll be kind of that time of the year where you have to reset the board a little bit, or maybe expand your net and find some other options. And Tennessee's had to do that too often in recent years at the cornerback position. They did it last year, were able to get D. Williams at the junior college level. So they've done those things. Christian Harrison, you know, that's a guy they offered last fall. You don't want to necessarily have to keep doing that every year. You can find good players that way, but the ideal situation is to find guys early in the year, identify those top targets, and land a couple of them by the summer. And they're at least on the right path with Christian Conyer, but still a lot more work to do given their needs in the secondary.
Yeah, and you know, Jakeem Jackson's a big deal, because I was the one who had to get up and go talk to him the other day. So you know right away that he's important, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're bringing out the big guns in that situation. You know, you don't just point this recruiting can at anyone. Only, you know, Nico, Imaliava, you know, Jackson, just the big dogs, you know. It's because real knows real. In all seriousness, I am not the recruiting expert on our staff, so Ryan would be the one to go to for all of that. But it is important, because now when you're talking in defensive backs, you're also, you know, it's almost like nickel is its own kind of thing now. It has been for a few years now. So you're looking at corners, you're looking at safeties, but you're also looking at nickel. When you look at sort of where Tennessee is there, I mean, how many of these guys that they've signed or added the past couple of years to you look like, hey, this guy could be a future kind of nickel for Tennessee?
Well, as we saw with Theo Jackson and really the guys that Tennessee has committed in this class so far, you know, most guys that seem to be capable of playing safety are often guys that the Tennessee staff sees as possible nickels. Now, they like to sign defensive backs who can kind of play all over the place. And there are not many corners that you would look at and say, yeah, he just can't play safety. Just, you know, not a good enough tackler or whatever. Like if there's a knock on your game at cornerback, it's going to be a knock on your game at safety. But if you're capable of playing at cornerback, you're probably going to translate at least okay to safety. So most of the time, that's not as big a deal. The issue is, can you have safeties who are a little bit interchangeable, like Christian Charles, for instance, a guy who at least got some work at corner and could probably play there if really needed, if nothing else. So you've got some interchangeability there among a lot of defensive backs. But yeah, I think Tennessee sees certainly, you know, Jack Luttrell, I think certainly a type of guy who could do that. And I think for sure, John Slaughter, at least capable of helping out in the nickel spot. So Tennessee looking at a lot of defensive backs with that kind of versatility. So in most classes, you're going to get at least a couple or three guys that look like, you know, pretty solid fits at that nickel spot. So you don't necessarily have to recruit just to that, but you do want to have plenty of options there and kind of try them out once they get on campus. And as we saw last year with Brandon Turnage, you know, he gets a kind of a pinch hitting role at nickel one week. That doesn't mean Tennessee views him as a nickel long term.
He had a hell of a good week there.
He did. But that's kind of the point here. You know, I think still long term, Tennessee would love for him to be more of an outside cornerback. But because he was the next guy up, just in terms of getting the best players on the field, that's who they tried out there that week. And they'll do the same thing. You want to have interchangeable parts for that reason. So I think they feel that a few guys in this class at the end of the day will be capable of playing nickel. You know, Ricky Gibson, we talked about him. I think he's a guy Tennessee sees as being a possible corner or nickel. You know, you've got guys like that. Conyer to me is more of a prototypical outside corner, but could probably play nickel in a pinch. I mean, there aren't many DBs that couldn't play there.
You're in the 6'2 range. And you have the speed. I mean, you know, with all these sort of ridiculous receivers now in the 6'4 to 6'6 range who can move the way they can. You know, if to quote the good old Derek Dooley, if you got too many 5'9 guys out there, they're just going to pick peanuts off your head all day, and there's nothing you can do about it.
But generally speaking, you know, for this staff and the way they recruit those positions, where you tend to hear the star and or nickel talk is at the safety position, and that's where, you know, we saw Jalen McCullough's gotten work at the star position. Obviously, Trayvon Flowers did this spring. You know, they're going to work a lot of safeties at that spot. So I think that's where you hear that the most. And I think even Sylvester Smith, I think, has mentioned that a little bit. So they're like all those safety types.
We've already decided. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ryan, but he's Sly Smith. We've already decided.
Sly in the Family Stone. Is that where you're going with that?
Well, no, just anytime your name's Sylvester, I think I think you should be legally required to go by. Not that there's anything wrong with Sylvester, but if you can go by Sly, by God, you go by Sly. It's like anytime I see a Henry, I'm like, why aren't you just a Hank? You know what I mean? Like, it's cool. If you can be a Sly, be a Sly. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's just a point.
But yeah, so Sylvester Smith. But yeah, all those guys.
Killing me.
All those guys at safety, though, I think, you know, definitely at least a little bit interchangeable, and they feel they probably got the star position covered there. But definitely you're going to see at least a few guys in Tennessee's class who are options there, and you're not going to see Tennessee, certainly not very often. We've yet to really see that. You're not going to see them sign a guy who's more aimed specifically at that position. It's more going to be, okay, this is a corner that we think can play nickel, or it's a safety in a lot of cases that we think can play nickel.
I still wonder at some point in the future when people are going to start recruiting guys, because NFL teams are not drafting guys, you know, basically to be specifically nickels. And I think it's, unless the game changes, goes back to like in the phone booth anytime soon. To me, it's like you look at a guy who's like, man, that could be a really good, you know, nickelback, or, you know, a really good dime back, or, you know what I mean? Like there's just lots and lots of. That's another topic for another day when we don't have to do a breaking news podcast. I'm just saying in general, I just wonder about that.
Yeah, and you see different teams take a different approach to that. You know, Alabama, for instance, you know, I've heard a lot about this over the years. They just they view it as their number three cornerback, essentially. That's how we saw Tennessee approach it with Brandon Turnage last year. But at the same time, you saw Theo Jackson slide down and play there last year and did a great job. So it's just different. It depends on the skill set. The main thing is you just need to be able to tackle well, be a good blitzer, good in run support, all those things. If you're a weaker tackling cornerback, probably not a great fit there. It just depends on what your individual skill set is. But you got to be able to cover any position in the secondary in these days, because you're going to be matched up against somebody and they're going to find you if you're not a good cover guy. So at the end of the day, as long as you can cover and have pretty decent speed, you can play a lot of positions in the secondary. And that's kind of where I think you see the interchangeable parts approach to the nickel position kind of making sense. And also, if you're at a place like Tennessee where you've not won enough big time recruiting battles in the secondary in recent years, sometimes you just got to get your best five on the field. And that's where, you know, there might come a point in time, there might be a specific player that they can recruit who's, you know, 5'11", not ideal size for this day and age. You want 6 foot and above at corner most of the time. Yeah. So maybe you find a guy who's not a perfect size, maybe even 5'10", and that's just a perfect nickel. And you just say, you know, he's a good football player, but we want him. Even if he's not a great fit at safety or corner, we just want him and we'll play him at star. That's fine. I think it'll be a rare case, though, where you see that happen. And for the most part, it's going to be, let's just take a guy who's got a skill set that allows him to play safety or corner and kind of put him at star when we need somebody there.
Ryan, last thing before we get out of here, I know it's we talked about this on a lot of the recent breaking news podcasts, but that's kind of the point, is that there have been a lot of breaking news podcasts lately because Tennessee is generating a lot of momentum right now. I don't think at this point it's kind of hard to deny the suggestion that this is about as on a roll sort of as Tennessee's been in recruiting, you know, since Heupel and his staff have been there, in terms of both getting guys that they really, really want and being right there with a lot of really, really big fish. And just sort of, where would you say Tennessee is overall with this class right now, and where are things potentially going here in the next little bit? Because Tennessee's got a potential to put together a really good group here.
Yeah, and you're seeing that commitment total climb now, over a dozen guys in this class. Tennessee doing well there numbers-wise, starting to really address some needs. You know, we talked about still got some work to do pretty much across the board, not really any position other than quarterback or tight end where I would say they're probably done. So you really have a lot of needs to continue to address, but the commitment total is climbing. Still a lot of top targets out there, and it's going to be a busy month, as we've said, since the start of last month, really. So it is a busy time and plenty to watch in the coming days. We already know for a fact that there are a couple of announcements worth watching on your 4th of July as you have your barbecues and everything else to celebrate the holiday. A couple announcements involving Tennessee targets, five-star offensive lineman Francis Malangoa, one of the top players in the country, took his final official visit to Tennessee the weekend of June 24. So that is one of the more
load. He is a load. He's a big boy,
big guy, and definitely someone that who's frankly just one of the biggest names left on the board for Tennessee. Important and a really good player, and just important on a lot of fronts. So certainly someone Tennessee would love to land on the 4th of July. And at least as of the recording of this podcast, he's scheduled to announce on the 4th of July. You never know when things like that can change, but that's been the plan for several days now. And then on top of that, a five-star 2024 prospect we know is announcing on the 4th of July, Jonathan Echols, out of IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, has been rated as an edge rusher, but Tennessee recruiting him as a tight end, definitely a two-way athlete who played a lot on both sides of the ball at his previous school, Heard County High School in Georgia. And Tennessee hosted him on a recent multiple-day visit. He was in town for that final camp of the month on June 26th and was in town a couple days before that. So he got a pretty lengthy look at Tennessee. And even though it was his first visit on campus, came away pretty impressed at Tennessee. So I think there is reason to believe the Vols are one of the top contenders there. So both of those announcements definitely worth watching on the 4th of July. Some other dates are already out there. We know Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Grayson High School in Georgia, announcing his decision a week from today on July 10. And several other guys that are getting closer to decisions, but just haven't announced decision dates as of the time we're recording this. So we'll see what else happens in the coming days. But a long, long list of names of guys that are planning to announce their decisions in the month of July. So lots to keep track of. And we'll obviously have it all covered for you on GoVols 24/7. And as news breaks here, on the GoVols 24/7 podcast.
Yeah, stay locked into this feed and more importantly to GoVols247.com because things move at a lightning pace. In this month, this time of the year in recruiting now, it's a big, big time. So, Ryan, man, thanks for the time. Unless you got anything else, I think we're good now. But I'll throw the question out there anyway. You got anything else?
No, I think that's it. Just stay tuned. Enjoy your 4th of July holiday weekend, and keep it tuned here. I think we'll probably have plenty more to discuss in the coming days for sure. And really over the next few weeks, it's a lot of decisions still to come.
That's a good place to leave it, man. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Wes.
And y'all out there too. Just it's 4th of July, so have a good time, but be safe. So thanks. Thanks again, Ryan. You gonna be safe over the holidays?
I'm thinking about no. Just be reckless. Dive head first into the shallow end of the pool. See what happens.
Living dangerously. I like it. Let's see where it goes. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wes.
And there's the button, and now I can say, guys, thank you for listening to this edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. As always, we always say it, but we always mean it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter, and Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news in your feed, nothing else, get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247, and you can get tons of stuff there throughout the day, all day, every day. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the tap, go get that at GoVols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get coverage of Tennessee football recruiting, basketball recruiting, baseball, tons of stuff going on there these days, obviously. Lady Vols coverage, where Maria Cornelius does an excellent job all year covering all things Lady Vols for us all the time. We got two forums that run around the clock 24/7, as the name suggests. We got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with Tennessee fans across the world, pretty much every freaking time zone that exists. We've got somebody there. We got people up at different hours of the day. We got all kinds, any time of day, anytime you go there, you're going to find a bunch of people on there talking Tennessee athletics, talking SEC stuff, talking pro sports, talking life, advice with kids, what to get spouses for anniversaries, lawn maintenance. Oh, just, you never know what people are going to be talking about on there. And it'll be anything that's not political or religious in nature. Anything else right there on the board for you to discuss. And you can get all that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month after a 7-day free trial. That is all that it costs. And after you pay or get that seven-day free trial, after that, you get us that low rate. That's one mediocre lunch per month. But you don't just get GoVols 24/7 with that. You get access to Paramount Plus with that for free in perpetuity. You also get access to a growing behemoth of a streaming platform that has every show CBS has ever done commercial-free, tons of exclusive stuff that you can only find, like 1883, Picard, Evil, Star Trek, all kinds of stuff that you can only find on Paramount Plus. You got new movies. You got classic movies, old blockbuster franchises, comedies, dramas, horror, everything, stuff for the kids. All of it, and stuff from the archives of CBS, obviously, and MTV, BET, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, all of it, right there, something for the entire family, and live sports, SEC sports, NFL sports, you got UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, Serie A, French soccer, PGA Tour, you get everything on there, and you get all of that, and our site, all of it, for just about $100 and change a year. One of the best deals you can possibly find. And if you don't do it, I don't know what's wrong with you. Go do that. Don't be a fool. Go do that. If nothing else, guys, you should hear from us in a few days. So until then, try to be good to each other. Try to have basic human empathy for people out there in the world. There's not enough of that these days. There's too many a-holes. We don't need that. Be good. See you.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them!
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Walking to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching, these have been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9/8 Central. On CBS. And streaming on Paramount+.